I like Chinese food. I really do.
Oh, that was some good Chinese food.
I like Chinese food. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about how we got an ad in one of our fortune cookies.
Wait. Oh my god, I forgot that happened.
That straight up happened.
Those stupid steak ads that are all over Twitter right now, which is really stupid because, or X, the community posts will call out that this is against the rules. You're not allowed to put gambling or any sort of advertisement on a post without disclosing it.
Uh-huh.
Why is it community noted and not just removed?
That's actually a good point.
Like, I don't get it. Someone through the hierarchy clearly saw the problem, agreed with it, community noted it, and did nothing.
What is the freedom of speech? Is it being
it's against the
there?
Terms of service to be, I mean, it's against the law too. You actually can't have an advertisement in media without disclosing it.
Oh no, just in general.
Yeah,
okay.
Like if we were to put something on the wall like on any of these angle shots,
then we would have to at least
check a box on YouTube when we upload the video that says this includes paid advertising.
You know what? There's so many times we're watching something and I'm like, is this sponsored? Is this secretly sponsored? And then you're always like, no, they can't do that. It's not allowed. But what if they do it anyway?
It depends. Like,
they're still just doing it.
If your brand is about a product, it doesn't necessarily make it an ad. Mm. But if you're all about that one thing, you're probably going to shill for it.
Well, like a salesman?
I mean, kind of. Because if the brand does well, then your channel will do well. Like if we were a channel all about Nintendo games and we covered Nintendo content and the company, for whatever reason, didn't let us do Nintendo content anymore, then, you know, we basically wouldn't exist. So it would be in our interest to advocate for Nintendo existing. Does that make sense? Because without it, we wouldn't exist. It's like a mutual ecosystem.
Where does this come back to the advertising without...
Well, that's why some things can feel like ads without them being
ads.
Oh,
I see what you mean. I see now.
Because there's such a mutual benefit that they're like, dude, this is my best friend, even though they have no direct correlation.
But you're not technically sponsoring it. You just actually really like it.
Yeah, that's how that works. But
yeah, but tell me why a fortune cookie can advertise gambling in their cookie. Like, instead of a fortune, you just get an advertisement.
I don't even know if gambling is legal in all the states. So I don't even know how you even advertise that in fortune cookies.
I see a lot of commercials for gambling.
Yeah, it's gotten bigger, which is strange.
I've seen it even at my parents' house, and that's a totally different state.
It's all over right now.
What's up with that?
We had these like pop-up casinos that were popping up even in town.
I remember that. There was one near Walmart before.
Yeah, it was called like Lucky Duck or something.
And they had like all the windows like covered up. Like it looked really suspicious.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to have gambling here.
Well then...
Trust me, they were getting around it somehow. I never went in.
I don't get it.
But I don't know. It's some kind of loophole, I guess. Maybe... they're giving out tokens or like they're doing it like the arcade way or I don't know. I have no idea, but people were unironically gambling there. Like,
to be fair, though, isn't like gacha and random like loot boxes and stuff technically gambling?
But okay. So the reason why like casinos are a problem is because like you can put in so much money at once and dump in like thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, and people are really addicted to this stuff and they're really bad about it. A few years ago, my parents had some dude paint parts of the house, like parts of the outside. They gave him like $400.
Oh, I was here for that.
Yeah, he came back the next day and said he spent it all at the pop-up casino by Walmart and he wanted more work.
Does that not, like... is that not just like a problem to the community overall that people are literally working just to gamble? Like,
yes, which is exactly why it gets outlawed.
This is clearly preying on people with addiction problems.
It depends on how the games are set up. If the games are set up to prey on people with impulse, that's when you're going to get regulated and governments and people are going to be interested in, like, controlling how much people are going to be able to do this thing. Because, like, let's be honest, it's pretty obvious the problems that can come from the entire community dumping their money into the chance of one of them becoming rich one day.
Isn't that like the lottery?
It's the same thing.
Isn't the lottery literally gambling?
It's different. So because, like, you're buying in for such an insignificant amount in most cases, it's not like you're hitting, like, this button and these flashing lights. You're like, you're a winner.
Yeah.
Like, that has a completely different psychological effect on addicts. So they have much more fun at a casino than they would with, like, scratch-off tickets or something, even though
it's
that can
be
the gateway.
It's all about the dopamine you get from it.
Yeah. So, like, loot boxes is also, like, a gateway to
and
that
gotcha.
Stuff, too.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's all, like, some of the more, like, innocent stuff is just the cheap throw away, like, oh, let me go $2 just to see what happens.
Like, and Cookie Run.
Yeah, some people just like the excitement of the idea that they could win.
Sure do. I love getting a random little thing. I love randomized results, random little prizes. Give me that shit. And then I would just want more. I want more of them. That's the problem. It's
yeah.
Just like, it's just like adoptables,
yeah.
Honestly. I feel like collecting and gambling and things like that also kind of plays into adoptables. And if you don't know what adoptables are, that's kind of like a thing we do on the side. And it's been a thing in art communities for a really long time. It's just when you design a character and you're like, hey, you can have this character. You can just have it, like, for your stories or to role play with. You can have the art of it, and you just got to pay me some money. And that's that. And then people got super into it, and they're like, I need to collect more. And there's some people who hoard specific artists' adoptable characters, because they're just like, it's basically digital Beanie Babies. We watched a video recently about the Beanie Baby boom. I didn't know how far the lore went.
Oh, people were treating those like investments.
Yeah.
They were unironically treating them the same way people were treating NFTs.
Yeah, literally the concept behind NFTs has been a long existing yeah. thing. It's collectibles. People, if there's like some type of rarity, some type of like thing, a limited edition thing, you can get your hands on it, or people will see it as like an investment. Like something they can sell later on because it'll be more valuable. Yeah. People will get into it and they will get hopelessly addicted.
People unironically thought they were going to pay their kids' tuition with a Beanie Baby because
yeah.
they were being advised to do this by professionals. Like, well, you might as well pick up a Beanie Baby. They're like $5 and who knows, one day it might be worth $500.
And then we find out in this video, the guy, you know, who created the Beanie Babies, who's in charge, just like, excuse me, specifically would retire some just to create that sort of rarity.
It was,
they would cut
things it was one of those things where it was a like practical reason first, but it boosted
yeah,
sales
yeah.
so much they were like,
oh,
holy
wait a
shit.
Second. There's
yeah.
money in this.
Yeah.
Because people grew more interested. The harder to get something is, the more people are gonna want it. You know those like shiny holographic original minted Pokemon cards that are like worth a didgeridoo, you know?
Honestly, listen,
it's the same kind of thing.
Once you get to that point where everyone's interested in trading your gimmick, whatever it is, it's just going to get to a point where the collectors ruin it for everybody. And then eventually the company catches on and they just sell expensive merch that's not really worth anything with the thought of, oh, this will be the investment for the collectors, and then the regular people just kind of get left behind. When they make all this like really nice collector stuff, it's just kind of hoarded and taken, and then mm-hmm. nobody has fun with it anymore. And a lot of the things that were worth something in the beginning are only worth it because nobody was thinking of it as being a collective.
Yep.
A collection item, I mean.
Collectible thing.
Yeah. So a lot of times it just kind of gets ruined when things become collectible.
When people start seeing too much value in it, then they get greedy.
Yeah.
And I think greed is what fuels a lot of gambling in a way.
Yeah. And that's why things like these NFT markets and these crypto markets just are falling a lot as they rise, because a lot of them are just bullshit.
Yep.
And they're being pandered as like, oh, look, it's one of these investments. It's another one of those like fake investments that really isn't anything.
Until like one person pulls and then you're all out of money.
Yeah, like it's so simple. We've talked to friends who have manipulated markets before because of how simple it is and how easy it is. All you do is for some of these people, they will hold on to a big portion of the market, and then everyone's fighting over like 5 or 10% of the market.
Yeah.
And then this one person could just dump everything onto the market, cash out for millions, and everyone's left like, wait, we were only fighting over like 1%. And there was really just like this glacier underneath it that was just...
That's a lot of what was happening with NFTs and crypto. It was just like a select few people with the most of it.
Yeah. And because of that, markets were growing really fast until you had someone dumping on the market. That's why they call them pump and dump, where everyone pumps their money in, and then the person with all of the stake dumps it. And then there you go. You're stuck holding the bag, basically.
Did that happen to Doge?
I don't think so. This really didn't happen to most cryptos.
Not like the big ones, I guess.
At least like up until recently, I think a lot of the newer created ones have this problem because the speculation was kind of niche back then. There were people who were just collecting it because they thought maybe, just maybe one day, that crypto might be worth something. And a lot of these people who thought that probably cashed out at like $5 because they were probably mining it at a penny. And then when it was worth so much more than what they initially invested, they cashed out at $5, probably. And these same people today are probably still holding like maybe like 50 of whatever coin they had, and that's worth so much more. But back then when they pumped, they probably dumped like thousands, if you think about it. I mean, if you weren't trading... Uh-huh. There was no reason to trade it. You know what I mean? If everyone was just holding it, it wouldn't be really worth anything unless someone was willing to trade it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there has to be some kind of like trading going on for there to actually be a trade value. So these people dumping all these coins maybe created the market that they're benefiting from now. So if you really think about it, they didn't spend it. It probably would have been worthless. All of it. Not even...
Think about those motherfuckers that just bought pizzas with their... With their Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean... Listen, there are people who...
Imagine.
...were literally mining it, and it basically felt like free money. And if they could spend it, it was free food. They got it from nothing. They got it from using their computer in the background.
Still a hard, like a somewhat difficult concept to wrap my head around, but it's the same as any kind of collectible. As long as there's somebody who sees value in it, other people are going to see some value in it, and then it'll spread. Just like money.
That's why I think it's kind of silly that there was like this frenzy over it, because it was just, they reinvented...
Adoptables came first. I'm just saying.
There's a lot of things that you could call NFTs because it's just a different technology to something that already existed. Just digital items.
Now I just refer to things like Fortnite's shoes as NFTs.
Oh my gosh. I don't get it. We had a whole conversation about why shoes.
Like, I told Dalton it's just like any other like clothing collectible. There's people who are super into hats. There's people who are super into watches. Shoes is just another one, and you get to wear it and show it off.
I don't dispute that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is Fortnite. That, like, okay.
People maybe like their skins. People are dedicated to their skins.
I get okay. it. I get it.
And they're dedicated to their aesthetic and representing themselves and their interests.
Listen, I don't get it, and I get it at the same time. I just don't get that it's shoes
yeah.
on digital characters where that there's no focus on them. There's not even like a function to them. If like
no, the cars
and
them.
The music stuff was interesting, but it made sense
mm-hmm.
because there's a game mode for
the
music.
Cars?
There's a game mode for cars.
The cars made me mad.
But
and then the shoes.
There's the shoes.
If you just, think about they're all the shoes. Back bling doesn't really matter either.
Right, but
or like the trail when you fall, or your parachute. Like, who's ever really actually seeing your parachute? Except for you.
I mean, I always people. Think that too. That's why I don't right? focus on the parachute. But the I
right?
I don't know.
Right?
Like, what if your character just has shoes modeled on it, and does it do the shoes?
It's just another cosmetic that
you know what,
people are willing to pay money for. They're like, if people are willing to do it, we're going to sell it, basically.
Yeah.
If someone's willing to buy it, there's someone willing to sell it. If there's someone willing to sell it, there's someone willing to buy it.
I understand collecting to an extent, but to be some people, when you're going for like complete collections.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's different kinds of collections though.
No, right. But what I'm saying, like these, like the people who drive the markets basically, because they're trying to like finish collections. So they're willing to spend crazy money on getting shoes they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's why like the rare ones are more expensive.
Yeah.
Like that's literally yep. why.
Yeah, literally.
But I don't know. They don't even wear the shoes. You
they
know
do.
What I mean?
They do. Oh, well, the like, character does.
No. Not Fortnite.
Huh?
I'm talking about real life. People who collect shoes.
Oh.
Like.
It's just like the Barbies. The collectible Barbies that most people don't even take out of the box, even though they're a Barbie meant right. to be played with. A Barbie.
My point being, a lot of these things are more like they're building museums.
Yeah. It kind of is. It's you know how dragons have a hoard? Like their precious treasure. It's just like that. We're basically just dragons with our own little hoards of something.
It makes me wonder if these collections are going to turn into museum items in the future.
That's kind of cool.
Like, these will be artifacts from our era.
Dude! They should have a Pokemon card museum. Do they have that yet? Do they have a
museum
just for the cards? Like all the Pokemon cards.
I don't know if you could. That would be like an exhibit.
Yeah, I guess it would be an exhibit.
Like
not
you could
a whole
have
museum.
An exhibit, yeah.
yeah.
I don't think you could have a Pokemon card like
I
museum.
Guess. Maybe a Pokemon museum then.
A Pokemon museum.
Yeah, I'd go to that. Oh, dude, I'd go to that though. Maybe they have that though, because I think I remember seeing like the fossils of Pokemon before. You know, like okay. the Kabuto and the Kabutop.
That sounds like
the Aerodactyl.
Okay, that sounds like a theme park.
No!
Not a museum. A museum
no!
is for artistic pieces.
Yeah!
Not artifacts that are not real that
no,
are being presented
as. No, but somebody
had
to create it.
Right.
It's kinda,
I mean, that can be art. But what
it'll be an art
but
museum.
But that's different. That's a different kind of museum is just to present art in general. It, like,
no,
they wouldn't
have
an exhibit just to be like, this is what Pokemon would look like. Or no, I guess that would be an artistic thing.
Yeah,
but
exactly. It'd be like an art museum.
But that's not what that's more of a theme park.
Guys,
thing.
Are you team Pokemon museum or are you team
theme park?
Team
Poke Park.
Angry Poke Park. No, that would be a whole different thing. If there was a Poke Park, first of all, it'd be like a whole Disney World, okay?
That's what I'm saying. What you're describing sounds something more akin to that.
I guess. But I feel like they could just have a pop-up one.
No, what they would do for Pokemon, like, art museum, is it would just be, like, a feed of art from the internet, and 50% of it is inflation. That's pretty much all you're going to get from a Pokemon art museum.
Why? What are you...
Do you really have to ask why? We're talking about the internet.
As if they would, like, make a museum that is full of uncurated art.
I didn't say... Hey, listen...
Like curated furry, art or okay, not. It's the E621 museum.
Yeah, there you go. It's one of the exhibits. It just picks a random picture. Or you enter a Pokemon name and it shows a random picture.
No.
That would be awful.
It's in the 18 Pikachu. Plus section. Oh, no. No.
That would be terrible. That would be, honestly, that...
Oh!
Listen.
Oh, wait, no. You'd enter the exhibit through that big Pikachu inflatable where you had to walk in through the vagina.
Oh my god.
You remember that?
Listen.
I remember that.
The art piece is the interaction with the art piece. Because there's always
the art piece?
Some kind of shocking reaction that someone has when they walk up there and type in a Pokemon name.
You have to consent first.
So you're
there's
part
like
of the exhibit
consent
at that
forms
point.
You have to sign. And you need to show your ID too. Ah, oh, dude, that's awful. Yeah, they like take a picture. It's actually like a big social experiment.
We're secretly filming your reaction. All right. Huh? Before we continue, I want to talk about today's sponsor, jawtoy.com/shop.
Oh my god,
we do cool things.
There's some cool stuff.
This hat looks a lot better than I thought it was going to look.
Yeah,
I said that last
really
time, but I stick by it. Look at this hat.
This is a genuine
Jawtoy hat. This is not a mock-up of it. This is a real customer
real
photo.
Oh, and there's Joe.
This could be you, by the way.
Yeah, this could be you.
This could be you. We will include models of anybody who wants to send in a picture of themselves for the
shop. Are you
laughing
at Joe?
Yeah, I'm laughing at Joe.
But look at his epic pose.
I'm epic gamer, man.
He's like a big lumberjack, basically. Yeah. No, he's a plumber.
A plumber.
Wait, no, construction. Wait.
I mean,
am I revealing too much?
Let him correct you.
Yeah, okay, yeah, Joe. There was one person that saw that and they thought it was a face reveal of you.
Oh my god, no, that's our friend Joe.
No, it's a Joe face reveal.
Yeah. I think the email address that you can send things to is fanart@jawtoy.com, I think.
Yeah, probably.
I know that's not fanart, but that's how you can get to us if you don't want to, like,
I mean,
us.
I feel like it counts. If you do anything that is made to represent us, it's fanart.
Yeah, you can always
so
send stuff
email
in there.
Us. Email us your poems. That's
oh my
fan art.
Gosh.
I'll read it. if you read a Jawtoid fanfic, I'll read it.
Oh
I'll
my
read
god.
It.
No, no.
No, not a weird one.
That's
not a weird
that's
one.
That's not an open invitation for just anything, Are you
within reason?
What would someone write a fanfic about?
Don, you have absolutely no idea.
What do you mean I have no idea?
I was reading off tags to you of somebody's fanfic on AOE.
I know they're off the wall and crazy, which is exactly why I don't want them here.
Yeah,
you think
like
I don't know what they are just because I don't want them here?
There was this big, big post of like a chunk, like a wall of text. And it was all tags for somebody's fanfic of some random two characters from some random show. But someone said, zoom in to one part of this, and that's going to be your 2025. And I got things like,
breathing.
No!
Like, how do you...
There was, like, murder mystery, cuddling, pantslessness.
Oh, my God.
Listen,
they... There's no way they didn't tag literally everything from walking to shoelaces to air particles, H2O,
being born,
the sun, clouds,
sleeping, like some really bad things that I probably just can't say.
Yeah,
honestly,
no.
Honestly, most of them.
But it was such
a lot of sex.
It was such a big wall of text.
There's so many things. It was
gibberish. If you zoomed out, it just looked like a wall.
No, it just looked like dots.
A big wall of text. Like,
can
actually,
can I give it to you? Will you put it up on the screen?
No.
What, really? Is it too bad? Are they bad words?
Yes.
Is that why?
Yes. Too many bad words.
Aw, man.
Very inappropriate.
Uncircumcised penis.
Oh my, that's not even one of the bad ones.
No, that's a pretty tame one, considering.
Okay, let's keep going, because we probably shouldn't have been saying that. Just with no context, a bot is just going to be confused. Why did she say that? Why? I know she said this word, but the context makes no sense. Why did you say that?
Sometimes our stuff doesn't get served as much, and I think it might have a lot to do with the weird things that we say sometimes.
I think it has a lot to do with the... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can explain the YouTube algorithm right now. And I can explain why sometimes
algorithms.
Our
so
videos might not get views. So we have an old account. Our account's like 10 years old. So a lot of our subscribers are stale.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that not the quality of the subscribers.
No,
but
we're not
the
calling
volume.
You stale.
So you have to hit a certain percentage. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's somewhere around 10%, 5 to 10%. If you can reach that many of your subscribers, then it will boost you in the algorithm.
Yeah.
But since our subscribers are so like varied through the years, like,
it's
people
been
subscribe
a long
for
time.
Animations, Let's Plays, skits, podcast, all a bunch of random crap. So we may never reach 10% unless we do some crossover. That's why one of our biggest viewed episodes from season zero is the episode where we talked about Let's Plays.
Yep,
we crossed the podcast
that.
People with the Let's Play people, and the Let's Play people picked up, you know, they picked up their end of the viewership, and then it got put in the algorithm. We got like 150,000 views.
Plus, anytime we stop posting, it starts recommending our Let's Play videos
to people who are active viewers but expect our content at a certain time, mm-hmm. but didn't get it.
Mm.
So it's, if you've noticed that like we haven't posted, you may notice our recommended more. Because they're always there, but you ignore them until we don't upload, basically. It's your viewing habit. And YouTube knows your viewing habit. That's why they spam our videos when you watch one or two episodes of
YouTube
something.
YouTube knows everything about you.
Well, that's what it does. I don't
you
know.
That.
You've probably noticed it on your feed. You'll see the same person's video, maybe like three of the same videos, just only those, just keep getting promoted
until
to
I
you.
Finally touch it.
Yeah. So basically, they know you're eventually going to watch this person's content. They know it's just a matter of time. And they're just fishing for it. That's why you'll get views trickling into the old videos. But you'll get that substantially more if you have that algorithm boost. So if you're, one of your videos, just one of them, makes it into the algorithm, then it will trickle down to literally all your videos. So
like, we got one of our really old ones where we collabed with one of our friends from forever ago. Like, someone was commenting on that. And I think it was a stream even.
I think it was.
Like,
yeah.
How did you even get there? And they said they were recommended it.
Yeah, that's what it does. And I get recommended videos from like 10 years ago too. Lately.
I do. A lot, actually.
Yeah. And I think that's because they're really trying to get people to stay with certain channels and not be so disloyal, because that fatigues the YouTubers. It makes them feel less valuable, but they want to reward the people who can garner an audience and get views. So that's why it matters so much if you hit that threshold that nobody really knows where it is exactly. But once you hit it, it starts serving your content to people outside of your network.
Guys, this is Dalton. This is one of his, like, superpowers is like super analyzing everything to do with YouTube algorithms and how he like he rips it apart from the inside. He digs in like a little rodent.
Well, listen,
with all of its little parts and learns everything about it.
I have wanted to start it a new channel to start a new channel.
He's so cool.
Because I think that would probably benefit us.
It probably would.
But
we keep splitting our audience.
Yeah, you can't just keep splitting your audience like that.
We already have with Doll Toy Games. This, like, obviously we could have uploaded these to Doll Toy, but the same thing would have probably happened over there. And we kind of don't want to ruin it. That's like why we haven't even touched it. It's because we don't want to, like, tank it by touching it.
I don't think
it's like opening your 3DS, your Nintendogs.
I think.
And they'll die.
You will only miss out on the people who weren't going to stay anyway. I'm so wishy-washy about it. Because if we uploaded something that was such a shock, the legacy of the channel could look kind of. It could stain that a little bit. People don't really like that kind of stuff.
It's almost like a little time capsule.
Yeah, that's almost part of the reason we haven't touched it, because it just looks fine the way it is. I don't know, but
we haven't touched it in a long time.
You may see clips and stuff of ours just popping up on random channels.
That could be us.
Yeah, that could be us. We might be testing things like
YouTube.
That. But don't be surprised if you see like a whole segment of ours on another channel, because I think that is how we break out of like what's going on with this channel. Because I know that the people who are dedicated watching are not the only people who want to watch. You guys are literally just the only people who think to watch. I think we're at that stage. No, I mean it. And I don't mean that in like a mean way, like, oh, haha, you're thinking about. No, I mean it. Like, we're at that point where we have kind of reached like a consensus of how many people will watch us in 1 week, even if you're not doing anything interesting, anything important. It's probably around like 5K of you who are like constantly following everything we do.
You guys are awesome.
And that's a really good number for us, honestly. Yeah. Like, I'm not complaining.
I kiss all of you on the forehead.
There's a lot of people who would kill for this kind of size of people like dedicated, but a lot of people think that's not a lot compared to what we used to have. But I don't care. It doesn't really bother me.
I consider all of the viewers to be little seeds, and then they eventually, like, once they start showing up, they sprout into our little sproutling guys.
Yeah, it's like, if you don't support us through our worst, then you don't deserve us at our best. And you guys are here at our worst. So you guys will be able to enjoy us at our best at some point. You have that to look forward to.
You guys got to go through the destruction. You guys went through the fallout with us. You're still here. That's what counts.
Fallout.
And I'm going to hold your hand through 2025. And if you're scared of the future, it's okay, because nobody knows what's happening
we'll still
in the
be
future.
Making
but we're still
going to
be
episodes.
Here.
Yeah.
Just guarantee that we're still here making weird little things to make you feel like, oh yeah, there's weirder people out there than me, so I feel a little bit better about myself.
But I think that's a reason why a lot of smaller channels are, like, have you noticed you've been getting recommendations from channels with less than 1,000 views?
Oh yeah, I'm constantly getting stuff from like 10 to 13 years ago, because I've been watching a lot of that stuff.
That too, but I'm getting specifically channels with less than 1,000 views on a video.
Good, let me see it. Let me find the gold.
Have you seen anything like that?
I'm sure I have.
Because like, I'm starting to see that every day. Like, it's noticeable for me. I'll look at a video and the thumbnail will look kind of like lower quality than what I'm used to seeing. Mm-hmm. That's just the only way I can put it. But I'd look at the views and it would be like 50 to like a few hundred views.
Are you talking
views.
About like shorts?
No.
Or like actual videos?
Actual videos. Like, there was some random person doing like a prank call and it has like 900 views and it's getting served to me. And I'm cool. Like, what? What? Huh?
You're like part of the people? Experiment.
Maybe they're experimenting on me, but I've noticed that lately.
Good. Good. View it.
Well, I mean, I haven't really been watching them. It makes them kind of, okay. I can see why some people wouldn't want their views to be shown, because if a lot of people aren't clicking on something, you know that because it doesn't have a lot of views. So you question its intrigue.
Oh, I guess so. You question, if it's been out for a while and it doesn't have a lot of views, you automatically assume, well, it must not have been that good. So I don't even want to click on it.
I do get served recent videos when they're low views.
I do too.
Like the high view old videos, mm-hmm. they're high views. Like I don't see a lot of low view old videos. Mm-hmm. I think those might even get deleted after a while.
No, they keep a lot of those. There's like archives of them. Some dude made a website dedicated to just that, basically. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was telling you about that before. That. Like a bunch of old camera we could do names.
A live stream of us. Not a live stream. Oh, God. I said the word.
Oh, you said a bad word. The word.
No, maybe
he's so he doesn't want to. I feel no, I would, though.
It's not that I don't want to. You're per scared. Se. It's just
scaredy cat.
No, I'm not scared to. You're I sure. just don't really. It's not the most fun I have with this format. I don't know. A lot of times in the past, people just.
Maybe you're sheeping it.
Listen, people ask very intrusive questions sometimes. I'll put it that way. And I just kind of like, oh, haha.
You can let me deal with the, I'll be that filter. Plus, we have friends who will moderate.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Our community's different now, but.
Should I explain what sheebing is? Because no. I just said that. I said you're sheebing it.
What does that mean?
You know what that means.
Wait, no, what are you talking about?
Sheebing. Because I said, are you just sheebing it
before? No. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but sheebing, there's like an image of a Shiba Inu, you know, the dog, that's like, its head is all squished and its fur is all squished, like being dragged, you know, it doesn't want to go. And then the second picture is it having a really fun time and a good time. So it's like the stubbornness, but actually I had a great time. That's what we call sheebing it.
All right, I can explain my issue with streaming, okay?
Yes, hon.
Streaming is about community interaction, mm-hmm. but that's not what I like to do on a live format. Does Fair. That make sense?
Yeah.
I don't
mind. I feel
mind.
Like you're a little socially awkward, even, so it might just be more difficult.
I don't like getting compliments.
No, he doesn't.
I don't appreciate them.
He does
I just,
not know how to react.
I'm just like, all right, cool. I don't know. I have a hard time with the pressure of like not reacting the right way. Like people expecting me to be either be more excited or they, I don't know, they think I brushed them off.
Now you just have your own way of kind of navigating how to express your feelings.
I mean, that's why I like doing things with the chads by putting them on the wall or do the screen above me, because it's just, I don't know, I feel like
you have different ways of showing your appreciation.
Yeah, I'd rather show it than to just say, oh, thanks.
Dalton's love language is like acts of service and like quality time spent and things like that. So that just, it makes sense. He's trying to do something rather than just say it. He's not a very like wordy person. He doesn't like getting compliments and he doesn't like giving compliments. It's very like not in his realm. Yeah. So he's just got different ways of showing it. That's why he's a cat.
I'm better with like feedback.
Yeah. Criticism, like, feedback,
rather
and like
than, not ideas. Yeah. Different from ideas. Like if you have ideas, I tend to be a little, I brush a lot of ideas off, I'll be honest. But for feedback, like, oh, it would be cool if there was something, you know, less distracting for one of the scenes, or like there was one scene with no moving parts. That would be feedback, you know, like, because that's less visually overstimulating. Or maybe they need more stuff. Like, the more we hear something, the more likely we are to implement it. Because, I mean,
I think about demand. The air conditioner guy.
Yeah, and then we put the stupid air conditioner up. He said nothing.
He finally came back. He finally saw it. Yeah.
I removed it. It's gone.
What?
Look, it's gone. It's not above you anymore.
Is it because it's cold?
I mean, that was part of it.
That was literally installed into the wall. What do you mean? You just removed it.
I removed it. I don't know.
You can't just remove that. What?
I mean, we can put
Were
it
you
back.
Salty? Is that why you removed it?
No. I wasn't. Oh, my God. Shut it up. It was not salty. It was mostly because I did not. It didn't fit with the set anymore.
That's like, okay. You do a lot of decorating.
We moved it around.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Listen, guys, our episodes are a little short because we're at the end of the year.
Ooh.
We're probably going to do one more big episode as part of season one.
Ooh.
And then we're going to technically be out of season for a little while.
Ooh.
But we'll still be making episodes. So it just won't be season two yet. We'll put it way. But we'll be having like post season one episodes, if that makes sense. There's no real like logic to this. We're just kind
There's no real logic to anything that we do.
We're categorizing it based on when we're going to start putting like more effort into side projects adjacent to the podcast.
I just let them label things. I just let them do it because I'm not going to do it.
But anyway, we're going to have some cool stuff going on in 2025. Hopefully we have some big announcements coming soon. But for now, all we can really announce is our finale is coming up next week for season one. Get your fan art in at fanart@jaltoy.com.
I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. Please.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.